Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, May 9th, 2007. The only May 9th, 2007 in the history of humanity. And it's a big night here at the Glenn Klein online webcast festivities because it is the start of the spring pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. And what better way to start the spring pledge drive with the president of the Gospel Revolution, fresh back from the Northland, from Alberta, Canada, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael, how are you?
Yay, I am just wonderful. Yes, I just got back from the weekend in Calgary, Alberta. My goodness, those people are amazing. We just had a wonderful time. And our little group of seniors that's been following us in the gospel for the last 10 years came up from Lethbridge, and people just came from several different directions, and a lot of Calgary folks were there also. But it was amazing.
Yeah.
Had a good time. It was mixed rain and snow when I the morning that I left to go up there. So. Out of Houston at 90 and into mixed rain and snow.
Well, they are the frozen chosen up there, aren't they?
I tell you what, they're certainly chosen and most likely get fairly frozen in the middle of the winter for sure.
And out of those meetings came some very interesting teachings.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that we're going to be talking about. But this is the start of our 21-day spring pledge drive, and we have been very encouraged through the last pledge drive during the winter. Our last goal, a lot of folks, Michael, thought that we were low on what we were trying to raise. But we thought you got to start somewhere, right? This is the first one we've done with the webcast. Well, this webcast, ladies and gentlemen, and this pledge drive, our goal is $5,000 in the next 21 days. And also, we want to have 21 new monthly givers commit to becoming monthly givers, and these are people that are not yet giving. So that's one a day. We need one person to step up per day to say, I will be a monthly contributor. And I think a lot of times people think that it's got to be a lot of money, but the fact of the matter is whether it's $5, $10, $50, $100 a month, whatever you can do, we're asking you to do and to be part of that 21-person, the new team, if you will, of monthly givers. And that, frankly, that's the basis and the foundation for our financial strength, are those 21 people that will be coming on board.
Yes, definitely is. There's been, we've had dramatic turnarounds and, man, just in every area that I could possibly mention, Glenn, there's just been, of course, it doesn't take a huge amount of something to come back from oblivion, but it has been a wonderful thing to behold, to watch people realize not only what the gospel has done for them in setting them free, but that desire then turning into wanting to see others free.
And that's a great point, is that there's something, hopefully, in each of us that wants to see other people set free, like we have been through the gospel, from religious dogma and from legalism and from really destructive mindsets that have cost people both their physical and their emotional well-beings.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a great deal of it, I know in myself and even in the people who have been hearing me, I think we're just maturing. I think for a long time, everybody just needed to be free, free to not do a thing, including give. But I think we have come through that, and there's some maturity that's beginning to show up in all of us, and we're wanting to take the reins and say, you know, hey, what I have, I want others to have, and I know how to do that. And it's basically putting support to the very area, the very place where you found freedom. And that's the only people that we're asking this type of support from. If you have received the freedom, if you've been blessed by the freedom of the gospel that you've heard through this ministry, through this broadcast, or through the teaching tapes, or CDs, or newsletters, or whatever. That's what we're asking, is that translate that freedom that you've experienced to be free to embrace who you are, just exactly the way you are, and the demands of change and performance completely gone out up from you, as now people are picking up the choosing to add this issue of giving to their lives.
And we're going to be talking about that throughout the evening. It's an important issue. It's something that we've dedicated the next three webcasts and the next 3 weeks to, frankly, raise the funds that will help the gospel revolution go forward during the next 3 months. And we're asking you to participate in that by either calling us and letting us know what you can do. Of course, you can always call as well with your questions and your comments, and we want to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. It's also where you can make your pledges online by calling us at 1-800-436-3260. We are endeavoring to raise $5,000 in the next 21 days, and also to, as I said, raise a new group of monthly givers. 21 of those is what our desire and our goal is over the next 21 days. So give us a call, 1-800-436-3260, and let us know what you can do for a one-time gift and also for a monthly contribution as well. If you give $100 or more in a one-time gift, you will also be receiving our thank you gift this month, which is Mike's brand new teaching that was just done in Calgary last week called Golgotha's Secret. And that's going to be a good one, Mike. We already have our first $100 contribution coming in from Greg Amberge of Kings Mills, Ohio. He says, Mike, I've got another $100 coming your way through PayPal. Keep up the good work. I'm also a subscriber to GospelLogic.com. That's our friend Mike Farmer's website. And are any of the new teachings coming online there soon? And all the new teachings, both the teaching on Golgotha's Secret and the new series that's coming out called Beyond Belief, will be available soon. But Greg will be receiving free of charge for his $100 contribution, the Golgotha's Secret. And Greg, thanks for getting us off to a strong start here.
Thank you, Greg.
And Michael, give us a little clue about what the secret of Golgotha's Secret is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, are we supposed to give that out? And I mean, should we not?
Well, we have to give a little tease, obviously. They call that a tease in the broadcast.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Golgotha's Secret is an endeavor of something that I have been looking into for years, and that is the total fulfillment of all Scripture through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And there was one particular verse in Zechariah that I had been wondering about for years, and it was that one prophecy that everyone puts off to the future, that I wondered, could this possibly have taken place at the cross? And between that and seeing the actually identifying the location of Golgotha, we were able to place John, who got the wonderful revelation, and it includes Zechariah's revelation and Zechariah's prophecy, and seeing John standing there, as he said, on the Lord's Day, which the term day there actually means the day of judgment even, and the Lord's Day being that which the prophet spoke of, the day of the Lord, the day of the cross, and John standing there and then saying that he heard a loud voice from behind him saying, and the only picture you can get is John standing there facing the cross on the Mount of Olives, and seeing Jesus dying on the cross for the sin of the world, and then seeing him turn and hear from behind him, as he said, he heard a loud voice saying to him, and it says that he turned to see the voice that was behind him. And the first thing he sees is the menorahs which are the first things that he would have seen looking towards the Eastern Gate and looking into the Holy of Holies, into that, to the, where the veil was split in two. That is just a tidbit of it. It really is. It's one of those, if you were, you know, I kind of got brought into my spiritual journey by my fascination with prophecy. And it was my fascination with prophecy that really, really got my attention and took me into legalism, really, the way
and it the exact same thing happened to me. That's how I got into this whole thing. Is that right?
Yeah. See, now, I didn't know that about you, but yeah. It was exactly the thing with me, was them telling me about these prophecies that were about to be fulfilled. And that was all the way back into the early 70s when I first got this absolute fascination with prophecy. And followed it through till the last dog died, you know, and it's still going, and Jack Van Impe is still, you know, 35 years in running and never been right one time. And but other people have great fascinations and almost fixations on this. And I'm telling you, this free gift that we're offering you is, it's really worth the $100 that they're that the gift is that they're giving, because it is a tremendous freedom to know that all scripture, all prophecy was fulfilled with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. All of Zechariah's prophecy, we kind of thumbed through the entire book of Zechariah until we came to this one prophecy, which is the one we were wondering whether or not, and with your help and some research, we actually were able to really, truly validate that Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, and the fact that it was the only one that I was uncertain about, and that uncertainty is gone, and I can tell you that my confidence that the cross was the fulfillment of all things, and that as a result of that, that Jesus filled all things, all people, and became Lord of all as a result of fulfilling all Scripture. You see, that's the reason that the church can't get it, that Jesus is Lord of all, because of unfulfilled Scriptures that they teach. There is no such thing as an unfulfilled Scripture, because if there was an unfulfilled Scripture, then there is a shortage then. The only reason that the prophecies that came forth under the law.
Right.
So they can't. You can't do away with the law and have unfulfilled scripture and unfulfilled prophecy. It just all goes hand in hand. So I'm quite confident that it'll be a real joy for everyone to listen to.
And you can get your free copy of that with this a $100 or more gift. And we're asking you to email us either your questions or comments and what you're going to do financially, whether it's $100 or more. $10, $25, $50 is awesome. It all helps, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think that because you can only afford $10 right now that it's not significant. It is significant. And we need you to email us right now at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That email address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your donations and with any questions or comments you have, and just let us know where you're listening from, and we can count that towards our goal. We have a $5,000 goal over the next 21 days, and you will receive for $100 or more the teaching CD, Golgotha's Secret. And Greg Amberge from Kings Mills, Ohio, has gotten us off to a good start. His subject on the email, Michael, is trying to be regular with giving. And this is a very important goal. And right now, on our toll-free line, we have our good friend John Adair from Houston, Texas. John, how are you tonight?
Yes.
Hello, John.
Hello, Glenn.
How art thou?
Well, as my dad used to say, as good as some and better than the rest.
That's awesome. Now, John is a pastor of the Freedom Worship Center in Houston that Mike spoke at, and this is, well, 2 weeks ago now. And Michael, why don't you explain this new affiliation that you have And Michael has moved recently to Houston. And oftentimes we hear, Michael, can you have a church where that is gospel-focused and gospel-centered? And, you know, frankly, we wondered if it could be done, but apparently it is being done in Houston. And
let me put it this way. It's being done to the degree, I think the people that are listening know me well enough to know that, you know, I would rather die in a wilderness than rather be a part of a legalistic church of any degree. And, you know,
last week you said you'd prefer to go to a church of Satan to speak.
Yes, oh, well, I guess I've moderated my views a little bit. But I just cannot tell you the joy that has been a part of this process. I'd like to say it's my decision, but it seems as though it's part of the plot and plan. I don't know, but now I don't want anybody to pass out or think that I have gone back and backslid or anything like that, but I've got to be honest. I have to tell the truth. Everybody knows I'm an honest man. Now, you may think I've backslidden, but I am now a member of a church. I now have a pastor and a group of people to love on, and they love on me, and it is just it's just an amazing experience. The last pastor that I had about 12 years ago or so now, when he actually left the ministry for a period of time, his own teaching and mine coupled together with that, did his church in. He did himself in with the gospel, and I came along to help him, you know, put the last nails in the coffin, I guess. And but John was the one person that I trusted that even back then, 12 years ago or so. And John was my pastor when we moved down here. Found the house and got moved in, and I thought, well, I think I remember that guy, John Adair, and I went online to see if I could find out anything about him, and I found a number and gave a call, and I got a return call about an hour later and found out he lives 15 minutes from here now.
And we have Mike's pastor, if you will, on the phone with us, with John. John Adair is with us. And so, John, you and Michael had a period of years of not being in touch. And how what happened during the interim, from the last time you guys contacted to just a couple months ago now, how did your life evolve to where you started a church in Houston based on the gospel?
Well, I would say, Glenn, that the gospel never stops unfolding. It continues to reveal who God has created you to be. The good news just keeps getting better and better and better and better.
Right.
And it's not something of starting anything anywhere. It was a matter of finally surrendering to the fact of who I was, which was someone that enjoys sharing the good news and protecting the liberty of others. And I love doing that. So I just started doing what I loved.
I love how you put that, protecting the liberty of others. That's exactly the opposite of what happens in the church. The liberty is sucked out of people's lives through the church.
Yeah.
And the gospel,
Religion.
Yes.
Through religion, because one of the things I want to take back from religion is the term church.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that people learn when they come here is you're not going to church. You can't go to church. Church is not somewhere you go to. You can be the church, but you can't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have here is a group of people that know they are the church. And part of that being is exercising, living, engulfing themselves in the liberty that Christ has paid to give us. and through that discovering who they were created to be, that individual, unique, uncloned person that resides within them, that is only a one-of-a-kind person. And they do this by expressing who they are. And sometimes you may not like what you see. Sometimes they don't like what they see. Sometimes I don't like what I see. But the good news always prevails. And when you are resting at peace, not trying to get something done, not trying to make people perform or become something they're not, or even rise to their potential, when you just leave them alone, sit back and watch, and keep guard with them of their liberty. It is wonderful to see God's creation come out of them. And then, what you may not have liked at first, you begin to find that joy and that excitement of seeing heaven unfold before your eyes through this life. It truly is a work of art being painted by the master effortlessly. It's as exciting as sitting down and having the opportunity to watch, you know, Angelo or Picasso make their creations, knowing ahead the value. And we already know the value of people. The creator of all the universe gave his life for the value of people. We already know the value. Now we get to watch it unfold. And as we encourage each other in the good news, to just get your hands off the midst of trying to become something you're not, or trying to evolve into something you don't really want to be, and begin to experience and live who you were created to be, with the understanding that God relishes in every moment that you're breathing, you're living who he has created you to be. And you know, boy, when the they thing, find the peace of the good news.
Go ahead, Mike. That's the thing, John, that I admire about the ministry that I see, is that you do not violate anyone's freedom. It's the first time that I've seen in the realm of pastoring someone to understand the power of freedom. Not just the freedom of freedom, but that freedom is such a powerful thing that you don't want anything for somebody except to be free, because the most powerful thing that will ever happen in any of our lives is freedom. And it's where that most pastors, well, all of them that I've ever known before has that I've seen have missed it. The ones that I've known anyway, is that they become concerned about this very thing, and that is that they don't see the power of the freedom, and therefore issues of control start coming in.
This is Glenn Klein. I'm sorry, Michael, finish. I'm sorry.
And I think that's the real issue that we're talking about here. The big difference.
It is a big difference, and it's the focal point, of course, of what we do is that it was for freedom that Christ set you free. And we want to remind everybody that this is Glenn Klein Online. We are in the early stages of the spring pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. We're talking with John Adair, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center in Houston, Texas, where Michael Williams is now the teacher in residence in Houston. And so for all you folks that throughout the months have been emailing us and asking us, can you have a church with the gospel? It's happening right now in Houston, and we're going to be talking with John as we go on. But we also want to remind you that we are taking your pledges tonight. And right now, the phone line is taken, obviously, with John. But email us and let us know what you can do financially in a one-time gift and also on a monthly basis. We need first-time monthly contributors. Our goal is 21 people to commit to being a monthly giver over these next 21 days. And we're also raising $5,000 towards this Gospel Revolution effort. We've got our first gift came in from Greg of Kings Mill, Ohio. We need somebody else right now. And there are people that are listening to us right now. We need somebody else during this conversation with John to get on and say, you know what, I'm excited about this, and I'm going to do something for the Gospel Revolution. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Excuse me. You can go on to the website at gospelrevolution.com and just click on donations and do your best. $100 or more, and you're going to receive the brand new teaching, Golgotha's Secret, that Mike just taught in Canada. And then now it's going to be available in your car, in your home. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you're going to do, and we will be happy to report that and to count that towards the goal of $5,000. John, how do you deal with the issue of giving at your church?
Glenn, it is wonderful to be able to see the other side of the gospel. Maybe another side of the gospel, and that has to deal with giving. Michael had asked me a couple days ago about the people that transition from coming to know the gospel but then seem to go back into legalism. And that's something, you know, we've been revealed the gospel 20 years ago and have been evolving and growing in it ever since. And now 20 years in preaching the gospel, what I've seen happen is people that receive the good news and walk in the freedom, but then grow a disdain for things that looked religious or looked like spirituality or looked like, and what they were really looking at was the product and not the process. And I certainly grew a disdain for the product and didn't want the product. But I have enjoyed the process, and part of the process is giving. Giving of what's in me, giving of what I have, giving out of all that I was created to be. And in that process, I began to experience a joy and love as the first time that I've experienced the gospel. And I found that every day I can awake with the success of knowing I'm going to make a deposit into somebody today that will receive it. That deposit might come out through a word, through a deed, through money, through a favor, anything. But I get to make a deposit today, and that deposit is to see me expressed, come out, revealed. And boy, that just blows my mind to see what God has created in me. So now I take that and I encourage the people with the same thing, that you were created in God's image, a giver. And that giver enjoys giving and gets joy from giving. And being created in the giver's image, that giving is within us. Well, what happens is, we grew a disdain for anything of the product, so we refrain from giving. Now we've taken a gospel and introverted it and begin to stifle the very thing that's trying to come out, which is giving. And they'll go back into legalism because they're wanting something to do. And they'll want something to do the whole time knowing what they're doing isn't going to produce for them what they're wanting. Well, when you continue the journey of the gospel, that there's nothing you have to do, you're now prepared to experience what it's like to love. Because as soon as you put a demand that you have to do something, you have just ripped them off from the joy of love, which is not self-seeking. It's not self-preserving. It's not self-righteous. When you begin to express that love that's within your heart by giving, you then begin to experience and taste the joy of the same. It's all one fruit. It's all the same. And that release lets you know and begin to experience, hey, God really is on my side. He really is watching my back. He really does want my dreams and desires to be fulfilled. And suddenly, tasting faith. Well, we're not trying to get faith. Again, it's a byproduct. We're not trying to get anything. We're expressing, we are revealing what's already in us. It's coming out freely. And when people do that, they don't have to be concerned about legalism anymore. They don't have to be concerned about the darkness of religion. They're experiencing life. They're living life. And I know there's people listening tonight, right now, this moment, I just want to release them from a $5,000 goal, because there is much more giving in them than that. There is a lot more. And I'm not saying the goals are wrong or bad. I'm not taking that. What I'm saying to the people right now is you're wanting to give. That is who you are. That is what is within you. Forget about if Mike is worthy or if this is a good ministry. Forget about that. Be who you are. And Mike certainly is worthy, and this certainly is a good ministry. But forget that. Go on to be who you are. Respond from who you are. Let it come out and release that. And watch. God is going to make sure that your stuff is met. He's going to do it anyway. He's not determined. He's not governed by how well you're working out your finances. He's not governed by how smart you are with your checkbook or not. He's governed by love. He is love. And he is going to take care of you. And now that you have an opportunity to give, do that. Give. When you hear someone give, be the giver. Be the lender. Be the one that's going to put it out there for someone else to hear, for someone else to experience it. That's joy. You know, let your joy be full. Well, you want your joy to be full, let your vats be open. Let the pipeline flow. And I'll tell you what, you won't be disappointed by being you.
Yeah, and I've never heard, Michael, anybody, be disappointed by giving into this effort. I have never had one complaint from anybody. No. We've been doing this for a long time now, and we've obviously been making a more concerted and more organized effort, if you will, in the last year or so. But even over that time, we've never had anybody complain about giving into this effort. But Michael, recently you had kind of an understanding or a revelation, if you will, about people who receive the gospel and then don't give it out and give into it, and what happens in their lives. And I think that this is a good opportunity to talk about that perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking with my good friend Mike out in California, who wanted me to share his story with you tonight. And he told me that he had stopped giving, that he got the revelation of the gospel, and through some setbacks and other things, that he just stopped giving altogether. And he was sharing with me that all of his efforts were just fruitless. And, you know, he's a good businessman. And but he said that he finally got it, that what we were talking about on the phone was that he had finally understood that this issue of giving was important for him to give. It was not, the importance was not placed upon the person who was receiving it, but he saw the power of the giving of it. And so we were talking, and he said that it has been some time. And in fact, he wanted me to tell everybody that he was committing to, he doesn't know whether it's going to be $1,500 or $1,800 that go through some chutes and ladders of financing, but we'll let everybody know when that comes through, because he did want the people to know that he was putting in his efforts. And we certainly do appreciate that, and we'll certainly add that to the pile, and we're very, very grateful for that. But what I saw while I was talking with Mike on the phone was that, you know, God got everything that he has in heaven into us by giving, for God so loved that he gave. So the motivation for giving, again, as Pastor John was saying to us, was that the motivation.
I don't have to take that. I don't have to take that title, do I?
No, I just like using it.
just to screw with you, John. We're just screwing with you.
I'm using it for shock effect right now. We're just using it for shock effect right now.
Free to be a legalist.
So I saw that, you know, and he and I were talking on the phone, and it was like in my mind I saw like a riverbed, and with all kinds of ships and boats just sitting on a dry riverbed, and these ships and boats were filled with cargo and people and just all different kinds of things. Just in my mind's eye, I don't know how to explain this stuff, you know, because you certainly don't hear me speaking in these spiritual terms like this very often. But when I do see something or hear something or know something, I'm not ashamed to say it. And it was like you just see that somebody was trying to. What they needed was in these boatloads of stuff, and whether it's relationships or, you know, whatever it was, and it's all these things that have already been given to us. And it's like I could see somebody trying to push the boat down the riverbed, and then back up from that. In this picture that I got in my mind was this dam, and seeing someone raise the dam and opening it up, and water started coming flowing. And of course, the very natural thing that you see was all these boatloads of everything that this person was trying to push into their lives just came to float and, of course, went their natural way. But I this is something that I finally saw, that giving is the river that floats all of the things that God has deposited in us. It came out of God through love. It comes out of us through love.
That is exactly why you teach. And that's the reason why you receive is giving that freedom and that good news to others. And I see how you light up and how charged you are after each. That's because you're experiencing that joy that comes with that love that you're releasing by who you are. And as you talk about Mike in California, I personally have known him for 12 years and haven't spoke to him either in a number of years, no particular reason. It just hasn't worked out that way. And I know him to always have been a giver. That is who he is. The guy has got a heart of just wanting to give. And to hear you say that he had quit giving, I can only imagine what came into his life as a result of that, because to me that
so against his heart,
that he shut down, that he was closing off. And what a dark place that is, especially having to know the joys I know he's experienced in giving. And truly, he is a giver at heart. That is who he is. And I've seen
him give
thousands of dollars and just been blessed in his heart by doing so.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy encouraging the people here, and it's amazing to watch how their vision, their sight, their hearing all seems to increase into more value, more appreciation for what's around them, and the greater the desire is for them to involve themselves in life and in living and with people, because now it's like they are truly free, not only in doctrine, but to truly experience who they are. And so when we say, you know, $5,000, well, there might be one person out there that wants to do $5,000 right now. You're free to do that. And don't think that, well, you don't want to take somebody else's joy. No, we can have more than $5,000 come to Mike Williams Ministry.
And we won't put you in any law there.
No, you're welcome to, and it's worthy cause, and it's a great joy to be able to send Mike. You know, one thing he hasn't said is we're putting him here on staff here at Freedom Worship Center, because we want to get behind him to be free to go and keep the gospel free. So this, you know, we call it Freedom Worship Center, but what it is a bunch of your brothers and sisters joining with you in your efforts around the world as you're listening right now, saying, yes, we believe in what Mike is presenting. and we believe that he is probably the best teacher in the world that I have ever heard. And not probably, he is the best teacher of the gospel in the world that I have ever heard. And I want to see others be able to do that. You know, I was talking with a pastor friend of mine here locally, and they're starting a lot of gospel churches around the country. And it's starting to take a lot of his time because the teacher's approach is a little different than a pastor's approach. A teacher comes in and just lays it on the table and lets you deal with it, and the pastor comes in and tries to help you deal with it and walk through all the diversities that it brings and some chaos it can cause. And, you know, the question always comes up, well, what about children? And, well, how do you walk through that? And so on. And one of the things we talked about was, you know what? Us pastors don't belong going into these new places that want to know about the gospel that have already been established for 5, 10, 20 years. Let Mike go in there and blow it up. And we'll come in and pick up the fragments. You know, those that are just hell-bent on wanting to get right with God through their efforts, Mike will go in there, challenge them, they'll leave. Let them go. That's okay. God bless them. And then we'll come in with those that are saying, okay, we don't know what it means now. Now, what do we do from here? Then the pastors can come in and Mike can move on and blow up the next place. So,
I like my job.
That might have been a problem with the church, Michael, when we came down, because we didn't have a pastor. You know, that's what role I was trying to play. But when you came in and blew the whole thing up, there was nobody here to clean up the pieces, I guess. We needed a gospel cleanup crew. Well, John, hey, thanks so much for your time. We want to open up the line for some of those people that are being free to give tonight. That's John Adair, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center. John, what's the phone number if people are in and about the Houston area that they can get in touch with you guys?
They can call 281-288-1808, 281-288-1808.
And generally, when do you guys meet?
Saturday nights right now. All subject to change, but we've been meeting for the last year or so on Saturday evenings at 7 o'clock in Spring, Texas, which is northwest Houston.
And for those, and I know there are many of those that are listening right now that want to hear Mike teach, many Saturday evenings he will be there at the Freedom Worship Center and certainly participating on many different levels. And John, thanks so much for your time. And
Thanks, John.
We appreciate it. That's John Adair from the Freedom Worship Center, Mike Williams' pastor. I tell you something, if anybody would have said, here's $1 million bet that you'll never say those words, Mike Williams' pastor, again, I might have taken that bet, Michael.
Yes, well, I think I might have too. But I think that you see why I waited, and you see what I waited for.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that's just it. You know, folks, you have to hold out for what the truth is, no matter what the cost is, and to do whatever you can do to promote the truth, because it's just that valuable. I mean, just finding someone in the ministry of a pastor, you know, I think a lot of people thought that, you know, well, I don't know what they might have thought about me, you know, as pertaining to these things. And it's just, you know, I won't be a part of something that's hurting people. I can't. I just won't do it. I was a part of something that did that for years, and I can't. But as you can hear in John, I mean, the difference, he understands the difference between the teacher and the pastor, you know. And, you know, I kind of like blowing things up, you know, so, but I don't like hanging around and helping put all of the pieces back together again. And so I think we got something really beautiful going on here. And
that's the beautiful thing about having a team, is that people have different roles.
Yeah.
And the role that we're asking you folks to play tonight is the role of giver and contributor and supporter of the Gospel Revolution. This is the Spring Pledge Drive. This is Glenn Klein online. We're taking your pledges, and we've got the phone line now that John is off the line. We've got our phone line available. We want to hear from you with your donation, any comments and questions, by calling 1-800-436-3260. Call. We've got about 45 minutes left to go. We're extending the webcast an extra 30 minutes. Patrick L. Jones, our producer and engineer extraordinaire, is also the call screener and waiting to take your call for your contribution and your comment tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Don't forget, for a gift of $250 or more, you can donate and dedicate an entire webcast. We had Mike Farmer do that in the last winter pledge drive, where he donated an entire webcast for his good friends in Montana. And whatever event or organization or an occasion that you might want to honor, $250 or more will do that. And for a $100 or more gift, you will receive the brand new teaching series or the teaching CD that Mike just did in Canada, Golgotha's Secret. And that will be sent to you free of charge with a $100 donation. The numbers available right now, Pat's waiting to take your call, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. And we just got another pledge sent via the email, and the email address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you can do by the email if you don't want to call. It's 1-800-436-3260 is the phone number, but the webcast address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And here's Matt Perry, Mike, stepping up to the plate for $10. He says he's in for $10.
Awesome.
Pardon me. And we need everybody to give something tonight. Let's get this thing going. We've got $110 donated and committed so far, but we're looking for $5,000 in the next 21 days. I haven't even broken that up. What, Patrick, what is that? You got the calculator there? What's 5,000 divided by 3? He's typing. All right. $1,666.67. That's our goal tonight. So we have a long way to go, but you can help us by emailing us right now at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your donation. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com, or by calling us. The line is available right now, 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. We know that a lot of people listen via the archives, and that's great at your convenience. If you're listening to this on the archive, your donation is very much needed, and it'll be absolutely considered part of the total goal. And just email us during the course of the week when you're listening at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you're going to do, and we will report to the people next week as to where we stand. But we've got to, Michael, I mean, it's a lofty goal. It's more than we had during the winter pledge drive. I like what John said, that, you know, somebody undoubtedly who's listening around the world tonight could write a check and express their freedom, a one-time check of $5,000, and we'd be done. But yeah, generally speaking, it's done as Matt's done $10 at a time, or as Greg Amberge done $100. But I wanted you to go into a little bit more detail, because you had some understanding just recently about what happens to people who receive the gospel and don't participate financially in it. They just take it in, and they're happy and they're living their lives, but they don't give back into the effort.
Well, yes, when you recognize, and that's what I finally saw. My eyes did see. I finally saw through the scriptures and through the understanding of the complete cycle, if you will, of the gospel. It's a flowing thing. It's a continuous thing. And I've watched this over the years, that we've seen a lot of people who have embraced the gospel, walked out of the mess of religion and all of its trappings and its pain and its sorrows, and watched lives and even families be built back together, and we've watched them embrace that freedom to the point of where that they cease to give in any degree toward the gospel, or even sharing it or anything at all. And there's just it just does something. Just like what John was saying, it's just like everything about who and what we are just seems to back up. And again, I believe that there is nothing that could possibly be more difficult in life than to come to a full revelation that everything that God is and has is been deposited inside of you, and then have no access to it, to the love, the joy, the peace, the whatever it is that is just a part of life. It is all, this treasure is in these earthen vessels. And I've had to observe this for all of these years to be able to watch and to be able then to speak up about it, because, you know, if for me, this is one of those things that I had to watch, not just teach on, but had to watch and experience in my own life also. And that is seeing people shut down when it comes to the area of giving, and watching the life of the gospel that they so embrace so joyfully become just something that they learned someday in their life, and they've gone back to just whatever everyday life has to offer them, which again is a far cry better than of what religion was taking away from them. But my goodness, to go to neutral ground when you have the power of the gospel inside of you. I don't know what all the power of the gospel will do, but I know that the gospel is the power of God, and it is inside of you. It has delivered, I mean, everyone that is listening and those who are not, my voice is speaking to the entire planet right now, but especially those who are listening. You are filled with all the fullness of God, of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are bodily filled with everything that God is. And so our appeal now, and my understanding now of giving has been growing in just these last few months, even that giving is that tool, or at least one of those tools, that begins to release those things that have been so sacredly deposited inside of us through God's love and giving to us of Himself, and this is where that I think that people begin to feel, as John was saying, this emptiness and this I got to do something, but they go back to doing things rather than living out of their heart. And part of being who we are and the revelation of who we are is givers. That's what we are. That's the reason a lot of people wondered why I could go around and actually go into debt instead of getting any offerings, but actually go away owing the expenses, and I ran up credit card debt and everything else, that just because I wanted to share this gospel. And people wondered, why do you do that? Why in the world would you go out knowing before you ever go, by experience, knowing before you ever go that it's going to wind up costing you more than they'll give you? But that's just a part of that flow that comes out from me. And I can tell you the joy that it's been to my heart, and the way it has sustained me through my existence. I've gone through some hard knocks, and just like a lot of people listening. But, I mean, these have been some things that would not just bring you to your knees, but in some cases would bring you to your grave. And there has been something wonderful supporting me on the inside, and I am just so grateful to experience that. I want to emphasize that, to experience the power of the gospel in the middle of these things. And it's not that I've gone through them without feeling the pain or the anguish of them, because I have. But my goodness, to feel that undergirding and coming up within me and out of me, not an outside force, but an inside force that's coming up and out. So, yes, and we just taught the entire chapter of Hebrews 6 in that series that on Beyond Belief. One of the sessions we went into was Hebrews 6, and Hebrews 6 is the biggest warning that anybody could ever have about about allowing this process to be interrupted and going back into legalism. Because Paul says that once you go back into it the second time, it's nearly impossible to be renewed again. That it's just that legalism, man, if it lets you go once, it is not going to give up easy the second time around.
It doesn't give up easily the first time. And I think it's important for people to know that when we've experienced this, that when you come out of the religious mindset that's known as Christianity, and where money and giving is such an issue in the churches, that you back off in so many things. You don't go into a building, you don't go into that kind of dynamic, but you also back off the giving, especially in the area of the vehicle of which your freedom was delivered, which for most of the people that are listening right now was through Mike Williams' ministry and the Gospel Revolution. This is a normal process. And Michael, you know, frankly, you're talking about your friend Mike in California that has committed a $1,500 or $1,800 donation, and he's going to let us know exactly what he's going to do, and that's a huge help, obviously, towards our goal. I experienced the same thing, that you just stop giving. And, I mean, we gave and gave and to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars in Christianity and really got burned. We got burned big time. So it's a natural reaction to back off. But what we're trying to suggest to you folks tonight is to expedite the process that maybe took some of us 10 years to go through. And some of you may have been in the gospel now for just a year or two or a few years. But there is this sense of purpose and this sense of joy that John was talking about earlier that really can only be experienced through giving, because it's a gift. The gift of the faith of God and of salvation is a free gift. And then when we express that towards other people in that same way, it helps manifest in our hearts and our souls the reality of the gift that has been given to us. And I can't encourage you enough to participate in this effort with this way. This will be good for you. This will help continue that flow of the river that Mike talked about. And it's not that you're going to earn anything with God. You're not going to benefit from God in any other way, because Jesus did that. But that we're talking about, it's kind of akin to when somebody purposes to put themselves on an exercise regimen and a diet regimen, they're going to benefit from that. This is just, I mean, this is part and parcel with living.
Absolutely. I think the message that we're trying to get across is come back to giving and enrich your soul. It just enriches your soul. And again, as I was talking to Mike earlier today on the phone, he was quoting the verse from Proverbs. It says that the generous man's soul shall be made fat. And I don't know what a fat soul looks like, but I guess it looks better than a gaunt, skinny soul. Certainly have more, but it's just generosity in giving is just an enriching of the soul. It does not gain you favor with God. It does not get God to give you anything in return. It releases everything that God has already done for us through the cross.
Right.
It, among other things, in any form of giving, I think, does that.
Right.
Whether it's monetary or whatever it is, but certainly monetary is one of the ways. I was reading through Hebrews 6, and of course the last part of that is such a tremendous revelation. He starts talking about when Abraham met Melchizedek and said that he was blessed by Melchizedek, and that Abraham turned around and gave him a tenth of the spoils that he had. And later on, about five or six verses on down, it starts speaking about the Levite priesthood paying tithes. But you see, when Abraham met Melchizedek, he was blessed by Melchizedek. And he purposed in his heart what he was going to do. It could have been 12%. It could have been 9%. It could have been 2%. It could have been 90%. The issue was that the principle there was that Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek, and out of that blessing, he purposed in his heart what he was going to do. And we're simply saying that it is a it's tried and true. I mean, down through the ages. And again, the one thing we will not allow this to turn into is somebody taking it and saying that if you do this, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. All we're saying is, as well as John says very clearly, all we're asking you to do is be who you are, because we know what Christ has made you to be. And this is just a part, of the releasing of that we have been made to be.
Exactly.
And to experience that in every level of life.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking, I'd like to talk. We're talking with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. This is the spring pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. Our phone line has been vacant since John Adair got off the phone. We need somebody to call right now at 1-800-436-3260 to let us know what you can do financially, to let us know what this gospel has meant to you, where you're at in your life with this message. 1-800-436-3260. Come on, help us out. We're extending the webcast for this spring pledge drive another 30 minutes. So we've got a little over, or a little under now, a half an hour left. But we need to hear from somebody right now on the telephone. 1-800-436-3260. When we started this whole process out last fall, we only had the one line. We were committed to getting a second phone line, and we'd like to get a third phone line in. And we can do that with your giving. 1-800-436-3260. Our goal is $5,000 over the next 21 days, and we are going to do that. In the name of Jesus, if I can say it like that. We just got a donation on the email at webcast at Gospel Revolution from John in Oklahoma. He's going to donate $10. Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, John.
And he says he's enjoying the webcast tonight. We've got a bunch of questions that are queued up that we want to get to, but we've got to move this thing along now. We're an hour into it, and we need to hear from you either on the toll-free line or via the email at webcast at gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast at gospelrevolution.com. We're looking to pick away at this goal of $5,000. As John Dare said, that somebody could write a check for $5,000 and be done, but at whatever level that you can give tonight, just like Michael just said, whatever you purpose in your heart to do, give tonight at 1-800-436-3260 or email us at webcast at gospelrevolution.com. And if you're listening on the archive, the only way to contact us, obviously, is through that email address. And we do have a caller. Good. I've got somebody calling in right now who I'm very... Which son is it? Mr. Jacob Klein is calling in. Hello, Jakey. How are you, my man?
What's going on?
This is my 20-year-old son, second of six, Jake Klein, who's very familiar with Michael Williams. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing excellent. I'm actually watching the Golden State Utah game. Turn on the webcast, and you're asking for callers, so I thought I'd drop a line.
Well, we appreciate you calling. What is your donation tonight?
My donation, you know my donation's there. That's a private. That's a very private
topic.
Your donation is.
Wait a second.
Hey, I don't share with my neighbors what I put in the little gold plate.
Okay. but why don't you? This is my son, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jacob Klein. Jake, explain to the folks that are listening around the world right now what the gospel and realizing that you are righteous with God has done for you in your life.
You're putting me on the spot there.
Yes, I am.
God's done a lot for me in my life. I feel very blessed in a lot of ways. 20 years old, with my own car. I got a...
Yeah, but I'm not talking about material things. You were with us in the church when Mike came into the church, and we were trying to do the Christian thing, and we were trying to raise you as, you know, a good Christian boy, and then you went through the evolution with us as a family, going through that whole process, and now you are free to be who you are as a human being. And how was that experience?
It's been great, man. Growing up is always a great experience, and taking on new challenges and responsibilities is a great part of life.
And that's all you got for me?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I appreciate participating. Say hello to Michael.
Thanks for calling.
How's it going, Mike?
Going great. It was good to see you the last time I was in. Hope things are going well for you.
Things are going great. I'm glad you guys are rocking on the webcast. Keep it going. Yes.
All right. And I'm going to be hitting you up for a donation later on tonight, so get your checkbook out. Bye, Jake.
Bye, Jake.
I'm so proud.
As you should be.
All right, so now that phone line is available for a caller who is going to step up to the plate and make an actual on the online contribution. Now, I will hit him up for sure, Michael. That's a done deal, believe me.
There you go.
He
got the privilege of of being online on a worldwide broadcast, so he's got to cough it up, you know.
Oh, he's going to, believe me. Mentions his car and then doesn't give us a dollar amount, but there will be a check. There'll be a check in the mail for sure. 1-800-436-3260. That phone number is available, and just by virtue of the fact that you heard my son on the air, you know the phone is working. 1-800-436-3260 is the number to call. We've got lots of questions queued up, but I wanted to get to this. I came across this news item today, Mike. Tammy Faye Baker, of course, the disgraced televangelist, who was the ex-wife of Jim Baker, this is a story from Reuters. It says that her reputation was rehabilitated through a documentary and a reality show, has penned a letter, a goodbye letter to her fans, in which she says doctors have stopped treating her cancer. This is what this says, Michael. The doctors have stopped trying to treat the cancer, and so now it's up to God and my faith, and that's enough. But please continue to pray for the pain and the sick stomach, Tammy Faye wrote in a letter to her faithful friends, quote-unquote, on her website. She says, my precious daughter Tammy Sue and her wonderful friends are staying with me, Tammy Faye wrote. They don't want me falling down the stairs, and I'm down to a weight of 65 pounds and look like a scarecrow. I need God's miracle to swallow. This is devastating in so many ways.
Oh, sure is.
Obviously, we never want anybody to be critically ill this way, but here she is on death's door, Michael, and she said now it's up to God and her faith. And she is barking down the wrong tree.
Yeah, well, when you don't want to have to try to start exercising faith when you are in pain. You know, one of the greatest things, I was just talking to my good friend Lisa Darden. She's doing a documentary that will come out in 2008, but I was telling her about being freed from my own faith, and it is goodness. I could never express live or die, sick or in pain or whatever. I just cannot imagine facing something like that, or even facing daily life trying so hard to exercise faith, but just coming to understand that the requirement of faith even was lifted from us at the cross, and God gave to us freely, even without our faith. We all failed. The disciples failed. The ministry of Jesus was to require faith and obedience, the same as the Old Covenant did, but he brought it to such an incredible fruition and to a conclusion that there is no one with faith and there is no obedience. And at that moment, that's when God, through the power of the faith of Jesus Christ, redeemed the entire planet. And, you know, and I know that these are not concepts that are taught in church. And one thing that I came to really love and respect was one of the people out of that era was Tammy Faye Baker. I had the pleasure of meeting her. In fact, I was there with her at a church meeting out in California, and she just was going the next day to get this diagnosis of cancer that she's been battling ever since, and that was in the summer of 04, I believe, so this battle's been going on for her for a long time. And I, you know, the only thing that I could say is just, you know, goodness, with where she is now, with she and her family, the only voice that I have is just one of love and as much encouragement as I can possibly give.
But what a shame it is that she is still banking on her faith to somehow tap into God in order to heal herself. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, that's what she was taught all of her life. And, I mean, I think that Tammy Faye has seen a lot of great things happen that God has done. But because of the teaching and her background, was never able to translate that into the freedom of the gospel as far as requiring faith. And, I mean, she knows that, I mean, Tammy Faye is... done some great things. Her book entitled "Run Toward the Roar" was a tremendous blessing to me. She had a revelation, as it truly was, a revelation of fear, and she found out somehow that the way the lion kingdom runs is that the old lions that are no longer warriors and no longer capable just have huge roars, larger, louder roar than all the rest of the lions as they begin to get old, and as they stalk their prey, that the older lion will the younger lions will go out along the flank. And the older lion, which has no ability to harm anyone, roars. And out of fear, the prey turns and runs. And what they don't know is that they're running directly into the ambush. And so she got a revelation of that and wrote a book titled Run Toward the Roar. And helped me in the area of fears so much. You know, she's been a real blessing to a lot of people in a lot of ways, but to come to this point is just a sad thing.
Well, it's sad for anybody, but taken to its logical conclusion, if everybody had, or if anybody had good enough faith, nobody would die.
Yes, absolutely.
And certainly nobody would die of any illness or any tragedy.
Especially if you'd been able to believe God for redemption. I mean, everything, and that's what we were told in church, that
that's
the big miracle
so
was redemption.
Yes.
And my God, can you imagine if the biggie we've believed for that and then the healing we can't get, can you not imagine that it causes people to even doubt the redemption?
Yes.
Because, you know, if my faith got me redemption and my same, and that was the big one, and now here's the little one, that's sickness and disease, as we were taught, and I know in Tammy Faye's circles also was the same doctrine taught, and that the minor faith was the thing. And man, then, you know, when you can't get your kids healed and you can't get this done and that done, it creates such doubt and creates even more unbelief.
Yes, and really instability, as we've talked many times before, in one's heart, when you can't get yourself healed. I mean, if you're like, just like you said, if your faith takes you from hell to heaven, and you can't get some cancer out of you, I mean, the doubts and the, I mean, what a difference, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're talking about tonight, is that this message needs to permeate the earth. And we're asking you on the Spring Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution to make a contribution. Now, the phone lines have not been busy, and the emails have been few and far between. But there is still 15 minutes in this webcast, and if you're listening on the archive, we need you to jump in. Feet first, head first, however you want to say it. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's the email address. Let us know what you're going to do. And just go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donate, and do your best. For $100 or more, you will receive the brand new teaching that Mike just did in Calgary, Golgotha's Secret, free of charge. It's our thank you gift to you for a gift of $100 or more. But regardless of what you can do, we've got a couple people tonight donate $10, which we're very thankful for. We've had a major contributor of in the neighborhood of $1,800 step up. We're going to have that confirmed. But we need to hear from you tonight. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. As I said, if you're listening on the archive during the week, just let us know at that address what you have done or what you're going to do. You can also send your checks to P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois. That's P.O. Box 572, Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois, 62450. Just make it out to MWM, Mike Williams Ministry, P.O. Box 572, Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois, 62450. And if you're sending a check outside the United States, just include USF or United States funds on the check. But email us here and let us know what you're going to do so we can count it right here on the webcast towards the $5,000 goal. We still have the phone line open at 1-800-436-3260. We would love to hear from you tonight. Somebody please pick up the phone in the next 10 minutes here, 1-800-436-3260. Let us hear from you. Make a donation, large or small. Encourage us as we wrap up the first evening of the Spring Pledge Drive at 1-800-436-3260. Well, we've got a bunch of questions, Michael, that have been sent. And are you ready to do a little shotgun approach to some answers?
Let's do it.
All right. This question comes from Dale Thompson from California. And he says, Michael, he wants to know, what do you think will happen in heaven? What will we do? Will we reign? Will we serve? Or do we minister? What happens in heaven?
I have not a clue. I know it's going to be wonderful, and I would think that with the joy of the expression that we're even talking about tonight in the area of giving, I just can't imagine that we're going to be inactive. I just think that even this issue that we're talking about of giving of ourselves to be that which we've always been created to be will be somehow part of that. But I've not been there, and I know a couple of people that have claimed to go. So I just don't know. You know, everybody, as Glenn has pointed out, seems to have the same experience of that bright light. But what's beyond that, I've not a clue. But rest assured, it will be something worth writing home about.
It'll be heavenly, if you will.
Yeah.
This note comes from Rick Arnett, in Canada. He says, Michael, are you going to come back to Edmonton or Alberta or Prince George, British Columbia, in the near future?
Yes. Well, we just completed our conference in Calgary. I'm going back to Calgary in November, and putting on another conference, and we're looking forward to that, and we would like to hear from our Canadian friends. We got great support while we were there, and we appreciate that. So yes, we're coming back, and any place that he would like to invite me to.
Exactly, and that's we've got upcoming meetings this summer. One has already been confirmed in the Indiana area, correct, Michael?
Yes, I am going to Richmond, Indiana, at least in that vicinity, on the eastern side of the state, outside of Indianapolis. And I'll be there in August. I don't have those dates right here in front of me.
Yeah, that information, of course, we'll send out to everybody. And But I think the point is, and there are other meetings in the work, and as we learned earlier in this webcast, Michael is going to be teaching on a regular basis at the Freedom Worship Center in Houston, his new homestead. And but if you are interested at all in having Mike come to your home, literally to your home, not to talk about to a building in your home city, but to your home, this is what he does. He goes, he teaches for groups as small as a half a dozen or even less, and all you got to do is click on the Invite Mike section on the GospelRevolution.com webpage, and we'll be in touch, and you'll find out all about that. But Michael's willing to go anywhere and everywhere to preach this gospel, as this is our giving back to this effort as well, Michael. And as we're encouraging, we're not encouraging people to do anything that we're not doing and then have not done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here's a question from Marianne. She says, question for you. If we are created in His image and the Father is Spirit, then what does that make us? I keep hearing people saying that we are human beings. But I don't believe that, she says. I believe that we are spirit. Your input on this would be greatly appreciated, and thank you. Love, Marianne. What are we, Michael?
I think there's a quote out there. I certainly can't claim it for myself, but I certainly embrace it that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spirit beings having a human experience. And I tend to agree with that, that this is just a human experience for a bunch of spiritual beings, you know, and we are created in Christ, and we are in His image, and that image is certainly not the humanness of us, but we're certainly packaged in humanness, and we are having a very human experience as spiritual people. And
interestingly enough, as I think about it, God Himself had a human experience as a spiritual person.
Yes, absolutely. He sure did.
In the form of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank God.
Amen.
Here's a question, Mike, from Paul O'Brien from Victoria, British Columbia. He says, Mike, what is your take on the importance of receiving the gospel message on earth as opposed to later? Do you view it as not mattering at all? Do you see that there's any kind of purifying process happening to bring those who haven't received it into the light when they die? Is it any harder for them? I'm agreeing with you that we are all blessed with meeting Jesus and receiving His grace eventually here or in the hereafter, but wondering how much it matters that people receive the salvation effect, and I like how he says that, Mike, salvation effect of the gospel and beginning to grow on this side of eternity. That's Paul from Victoria, British Columbia.
Well, the effect only is effective on this side. I mean, the only benefit to the gospel other than redemption itself is what benefit it gives us while we are having this human experience. So it's vital. It is not vital, and no, there is no purification process to take someone. We've all been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, not going to be. But we've all been purified by His blood, and there is no process that's the same as someone who understands it doesn't go through a purification process. Someone who doesn't understand it or believe it does not go through a purification process later. If there is a process, the process if we would use those terms, purification, it would be purifying our conscience from dead works.
Mm-hmm.
Not from works, but from dead works, from a false assumptions about righteousness through deeds.
It has no effect on our righteousness in God. It just helps us in how we think about ourselves vis-a-vis God.
Yes, it helps us to embrace who we are, as John has explained to us this evening. So that's the total effect of the impact of the gospel, other than the fact of the reality of eternal life for everyone. The benefit is great. It's beyond belief, to put in a little plug from a new series. But it is. It is a powerful experience. But as far as making a difference in the eyes of eternity or in the eyes of God, when this life is over, it virtually has no impact at all as to whether we know it or don't know it.
Excellent. This next email, as we continue through here, is from Kenneth from Belfast, Northern Ireland. He says, Glenn, love the webcast with you and Mike. He says, John 1, verse 9 is a snapshot, something that had already happened at the cross. It is in the area, it's in the something tense in the Greek. He says, so if you read it in context, you will see that it is saying, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to have already forgiven your sins, as Hebrew bears this out. People get stuck here, as I've heard Mike say on the archives. Just thought I would share that with you both. I have listened to the archives as I live in Northern Ireland, but love every minute of it. Thank you both for sharing your hearts of grace to the world. That's Kenneth in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Well, we appreciate those thoughts and sharing those views.
And now this question comes, I've got it here. This is from our brother Dale again. He says, I know I'm asking many questions these days. However, I love reading the results of these questions as you so graciously take the time to respond. My question today is not as complicated as the last two. He wants to know, Michael, who are the angels and which kept not their first estate? What's your opinion of the angels?
Well, the only view that I have of it is the angels that kept not their first estate is what is called the fallen angels, which Isaiah speaks of, and which presumably is which was called Satan and his angels, as it is put by Isaiah. And then, of course, that's brought into other terms in the New Testament, but my concept is that those were a part of the angelic realm, but they were completely defeated. He and them were completely defeated by taking away the strength of the law from sin, and taking away sin and its strength. So whatever they happen to be now or not be now, the one thing that we do know is that there is no strength in them except the part that legalism might play in the participation of some negative influence in our lives through legalism. But as far as the fallen angels, I know that there's a lot of discussion about this amongst Universalists and the redemption of the angelic realm. But the one thing that I do not teach at all is redemption for the angelic realm, because Hebrews explains to us in detail that Jesus did not come in the form of an angel. He came in the form of a man to redeem man. Now the people might say, yes, but a loving God wouldn't leave fallen angels and all of this, and that's fine. I'm just saying that the blood of Jesus Christ would not have the power to redeem an angel, because he did not come in the form of an angel. God may provide some way for that, but it will not be through the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the reason I stand adamantly for that is because if we begin to, if you will, dilute the effect of the blood of Jesus by applying it to things that were not applicable by the scriptures, then I think we're going to lose the full impact that it truly has for you.
This next question comes from Charlie Tice from Kansas City. He says, Dear Mike, I came to one of your meetings here in Kansas City some years ago when Rich Blackstock was a friend who invited me to come. Anyway, I have a question for you. Is there any way of locating other like-minded believers in the Kansas City area?
Yes, and that's, as you've been talking about, our GRIP program, which we are, kind of got off to a rocky start, but we're trying to get that up and running and get the so people can go into there, and we'll be posting at least email addresses and things for contact, and you can go from there. So stay tuned. That's the only thing that I know to tell you right now.
Yeah, the GRIP program is Gospel Revolution Point Person. That's what it stands for.
Yes.
And we are going to, just like we promised we were going to get a second phone line, we will be getting that reactivated. In the meantime, just stay tuned to the webcast. Check out the website at gospelrevolution.com. We send out emails several times a month, and you'll be kept posted that way. But when that GRIP program gets reactivated, everybody will be well aware of it. And, yes, you will be able to locate people in your general vicinity who, Michael, believe this gospel. There's people all over the world.
All over the world.
And
virtually every country that I could possibly name, we've gotten so many responses over the years, and you know, people have kind of melded into the woodwork of society, you know, and but they are there, and there's been powerful impact around the planet with this gospel.
Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the first edition of the Spring Pledge Drive, and you know, between what Mike in California did and our friends Greg and Matt and John did tonight, we're on our way.
We're on our way.
And if you're listening, if you're listening right now on the archive, please do something during the course of the week. We'll report on it next week when we come back to you live on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We're looking for a goal of $5,000, ladies and gentlemen, in the next 21 days, and your donation, every penny counts towards that $5,000 goal to pay the bills over the next 3 months of the Gospel Revolution. I mean, there's lots of bills, as you can imagine. You think, well, $5,000 over 3 months doesn't sound like much. Well, this is where we're starting. This is where we're continuing, and your donations and contributions are much appreciated. You can donate online. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and do your best. For a gift of $100 or more, you'll receive free of charge the new teaching that Mike just did in Canada, Golgotha's Secret. And but no matter what size gift, Michael, it's all very much appreciated and very much needed.
Absolutely.
You can also send your gifts to MWM P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois. That's P.O. Box 572, Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois 62450. And if you're sending checks outside the United States, just please include USF or United States funds on your check. All right, Michael, 1 week in, we're doing it, and we're going to...
Yes, we are.
And we're going to stay with it.
Yes, we are.
So we
and we're going to exceed our goal.
In the name... Oh, Jesus. Hey, thanks, Michael. As always, we love you.
Yes, love you too, Glenn. Thanks
right.
so much.
And thanks to Patrick Jones for
for
engineering, producing, for John Adair, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center in Houston. And thanks for all of those that have contributed and that will contribute. It's time for me to say goodnight. This is Glenn Klein online. Shalom, everybody.